Book of James, first at least 17 verses.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, read. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted.
But the rich in that he is made low, because like the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
The James was the brother of Jesus Christ. Many people do not believe that Jesus has any brothers or sisters. But the Bible gives us proof that Mary had other children, and James is one of them. James was not the follower of Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ was serving in this world. Jesus' ministry was very short, 3.5 years, and Jesus finished his ministry, and when he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. He did his work within 3.5 years. At that time, James was not the follower of Jesus Christ. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many people believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, St. Paul testifies and tells us that Jesus met James and showed him after the resurrection.
After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles.
Okay. That means James saw Jesus Christ after the resurrection, when Jesus Christ comes and meets him. We do not know what the conversation was between James and Jesus. It's not recorded. But you can just imagine, James did not believe Jesus Christ, and if you read in John chapter 7, he says, you know, they even said to him, why don't you go to Jerusalem? And their point was, why you want to be famous? Go to Jerusalem. And their people were trying to kill Jesus. So they wanted to go and let the Jesus get killed. That's the way they were hated him. Not only that, his brothers even said to him, he has a maybe demon, he's out of his mind. And that's the kind of criticize they were doing to Jesus Christ. Because if you read St. John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came to his own people and they did not believe him. Who are the own people? Just believe his relatives, Jewish people, even they just believe that he came to James, tried to tell him about kingdom of God. At that time, he did not believe. But the word of God says, as we read a few seconds ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7. Jesus forgot all the problem the people gave it to him. He forgot all the trials and temptations and trouble people gave it to him. And he even met his brother James. And now the word of God is saying, let's go back to the James chapter 1 verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now the James is greetings. And now here he is not telling the world, I am the brother of Jesus Christ, but what he saying, I am the servant of Jesus Christ. Now he is humbling himself. He is trying to say, I am not even worthy to call him my brother. I am his servant. And now he is saying, all these 12 tribes of Israel, they are scattered everywhere. Why they were scattered? Because of trials and tribulations and problems. We know St. Paul, he was not Paul, his name was Saul, and he was persecuting the children of God, especially Christians. So the people were scattered everywhere they can go and protect themselves from this persecution. So now he's trying to tell these people, when the trials and tribulation comes, what we supposed to do. And his message is in this book, mainly about trials and faith. Okay, let's see verse 2.
Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Okay, now he's trying to say, my brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptation.
Amen.
Temptation is not the word temptation here. Temptation is trials, tribulation, persecution. He says, not one persecution, different kinds of persecution will come. When you are a child of God, the trial starts from that moment. When you come out of the hands of the devil, then devil gets mad and he tries to give you more problems. But the word of God is saying, if you are a child of God, and if you got a chance to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ, what you're supposed to do? Count it joy. It is not easy. Somebody says, how can I count it joy when I'm having problems? Here we are not talking about sickness and disease. Here we are talking about persecution. Here we're talking about somebody tells you something against you when you're trying to give them the message of salvation. The world doesn't understand you love them. Other day one man was preaching on the television and he was preaching against homosexuals and against lesbians, but he says, I am coming to you by love. This message I'm bringing to you by love. Now somebody will sitting there and say, what kind of love he is talking about? He's hating us, he doesn't like us, and he is saying this message I'm bringing to you as the message of love. You know what he said? He said, if you are living the homosexual life, you are going to die within 40 years. But if you have husband and wife, you can live at least 75 years, the average life we are talking about. If you are lesbian and you living a lesbian life, you're going to live maybe 45 years. But if you are married and your husband and wife, and even the husband dies, you might live 85 years. So this is average. So what he's trying to say, I want to save you from the trouble. That's why I love you and I'm telling you this. Still people will not understand. The word of God is trying to say here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials and trouble. When you going and preaching the word of God to somebody and they did not listen to you, and sometimes they say something, and you get so angry. And you just start thinking, Jesus Christ said, if they don't listen to you, what you do? Shake the dust off your shoes,
Amen.
Or feet, and go, and that house will be then judged in the judgment
Amen.
Day. This happened to me many a time. But I did not shake the dust, even though it is commanded to do it. I said, Lord, give me grace to do one more time.
Amen.
Give me chance to tell these people one more time. And I have seen the people who persecuted me, they came to Jesus Christ, gave their life to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is saying, count it all joy. When you go through all these trials and tribulations and problems, sometimes you sit there and say, Lord, what did I do? I am not doing anything wrong, and why these troubles are coming?
Amen. Yes.
When these things start coming to you, you start sometimes blaming God.
Yes.
Just like Job. Job was a good man, and the Word of God says, why these trials and trouble came to Job? Different people will give you different opinion. But the Word of God says in Job, he says, all of this trouble came to me because I was afraid of these things will coming to me. What does it mean? He believed, someday I will have problem. Someday some trouble will come to me. What you believe,
Amen.
That you get.
That's right. Amen.
He should not be thinking, one day the trials and troubles will come to me.
Amen.
The Word of God says, if you believe something in your heart, you will receive it.
Amen. Amen.
But now he's a righteous man and start having problem. You know what he did? He cursed his birthright, why I was born. And then he starts saying, arguing with people, which God did not like. Even though he's a righteous man. And if you read in Job, I don't have time, you go home and read. If you read in Job chapter 39 onwards, God comes on the scene. And God says, Job, I want to talk to you. And God starts saying to him several things. When I laid the foundation, where were you?
Amen.
And many, many scientific things, God starts asking Job. And then he kept his mouth shut. He says, Lord, I said it once, I said it twice. Now I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to listen to you. And then God started talking to him. When God finished talking to him, God said to those people who harassed him, told them, listen, go to my servant Job. You said something which is not pleasing in my sight. You go, take some offerings, and tell Job to do the sacrifice for you. God said to Job in Job chapter 42 verse 10, he says, before that, if you say ninth verse, he said, pray for those people. At that time, Job would have said, I'm not going to pray for those people. They were harassing me. They were making fun of me. And I'm not even healed. And if I tell them, come, I'm going to pray for you, they're going to make fun more. He would have said, I'm not going to pray for them. But what happened? He said, I'm going to shut my mouth. And I'm going to listen to you. Listening to you means what? I'm going to obey what you say. That's why he did not argue with God.
Amen.
And the Word of God says when he prayed for
Amen.
His friends,
yes.
what happened?
Yes.
Instantly,
Amen.
He got healed.
Amen.
And what happened? God gave him double portion what he lost.
Amen.
So what the Word of God is trying to tell you, when the trials and tribulation comes, you should count it joy.
Yes.
Not to get depressed. Not to start arguing with somebody. Not to start fighting with somebody. But say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe I'm doing something good. That's why all these problems are coming.
Yes.
Don't question God. Why me, Lord?
Yes.
Why this happened to me? When you start questioning God, then the devil will come and try to pull you away from the Lord.
Amen.
The devil brings anything to you, something good will come out of it.
Amen. Amen.
And you're going to learn, you're going to have an experience. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. You can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to allow
Blessed
you.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort.
Okay, Father of mercies, and God of all comfort.
Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Amen. Amen. So what is trying to say? Our God is God of mercy.
Amen.
God of compassion.
That's right.
God of love.
Amen.
And the same God, when He allows you to go through these trials and Amen. Tribulations, He says, He allows you, when you go through, you learn something. You learn patience. You learn how to depend on God.
Amen.
You learn to how trust in God.
Right.
And then when you go through all of these things, then you say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You comforted me
That's
in
right.
my troubles
Amen.
And my
Amen.
Trials.
Hallelujah.
So what you're going to do then, you are going to comfort others.
Amen. That's right.
If you don't have this experience, how are you going to teach somebody? And you give encouragement. Why? Because you had the experience. If you don't have the experience, you cannot teach somebody. Just think, you don't know driving, you never did anything driving. Do you think you're going to go and sit and try to teach somebody driving? Other day we met a man, he said, you know, I can learn everything from the book about plane, about everything. And he was a demon worshiper man. I was thinking, if you try to learn everything from the book and you don't know everything, how it works, and you sit in the plane seat and tell the passengers, I just learned from the book and I'm going to drive this plane right now, I don't know how many people are going to go with you. What I'm trying to say, you have to have experience.
Amen.
The same way, if you want to be a servant of God and you never visited people, you never talked to people about Jesus, and you never had the experience of, you know, talking to people, it is not easy to be a minister. Because 100,000 people will come, different kinds of people will come and start asking you questions and try to put you down and make fun of you and all kinds of things. And if you start getting angry and start to have fist fight, you will not win any soul. One day I told you, I was minding my business. I was praying in my room in the morning time, maybe 8 o'clock, 8:30. Here the lady comes and knocks my door, and I open the door. I said, sister, can I help you? She said, what? You call yourself a pastor? I said, yes. You pray, pray, pray. I said, yes. Why don't you clean the leaves sometimes? There are all the leaves coming from your yard to my yard. I said, ma'am, I just cleaned a few minutes ago, but I cannot hold the wind. Wind is blowing. We will clean it again. And she left. And I went back to prayer. I said, Lord, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing. And she comes back again, start knocking at the door again. I opened the door, I says, how can I help you? She said, she started crying. She said, you know, I was angry at you without the reason. You know why? Because I fought with my mother-in-law. And I was so angry. And I wanted to take this anger on somebody. I could not find anybody. So I came to you. I said, thank God you came to me. And I talked with her and prayed with her. And pretty soon, following week, she comes. She said, you know, my sister is born again.
Amen.
And I was talking to her about you and godly thing. And she's coming. And I'm so happy that I talked with you. What I'm trying to say, if I would have said to her, ma'am, mind your business. Go and clean your leaves. I'm not here to hold the winds for you. If you want, find somebody to clean your leaves and don't ever come and knock my door again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll call police. What would happen? I would lose my testimony.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
So that's what the Word of God is saying.
Hallelujah.
When all of this problem comes to you, we don't know why that lady came to bug me, but I prayed for her.
Amen.
And God touched her heart. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Yea, and all that will the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
If you have a desire to be a godly person, what would happen to you? You will have persecution. If you say, I don't want persecution, I don't want to be godly, I want to be ungodly. Just think, if you be ungodly, that doesn't mean you will not have persecution. You will have persecution, but at that time, Jesus will not be with you to rescue you. But the Word of God says, Jesus says, I will never leave you,
yep.
I will never forsake you.
Amen.
That we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. So what I'm trying to say, if you have persecution, that means you are living a godly life. If you live godly life, you will. There is nothing that you might. You will surely have persecution. So don't be afraid to get persecuted. Let's read the verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. What is trying to say? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That means you learn patience. When some people repeatedly do the same thing, then you know how to handle them. Right? Same problem comes all the time, then you know how to handle that problem. And if you resist the devil, what the Word of God says? He will flee from you. He will try to bring this over and over and over again. But if you're bold enough to say no to devil, he will flee in the name of Jesus. So then you get a practice. But if you have the experience to refuse to have that problem, God will give you victory. Because we are in victory side. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil on the cross. Devil has no power. He's powerless. But what happened? We are giving him power. We are allowing him to walk over us. That's what he does. He's on a leash. He cannot do anything to the children of God. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. What he says? God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of the unbelievers.
Amen.
He can only make blind unbelievers, not to you, because our eyes are open. Enlightened.
That's right.
By the Word of God, by the power of God.
Amen.
We were dead, but now we are alive.
Amen.
So we cannot allow devil to walk over us. The Word of God says, devil should be under your feet.
That's right.
Don't allow him.
Amen.
To go over your head.
That's right. Amen.
When you allow him, he will use you. But you resist him, he will flee. James chapter 1, verse 4.
Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Okay, what he's trying to say? Let patience have her perfect work. What does it mean? If you have patience, for example, just think, somebody told you, I'm going to meet you within an hour. And your watch was wrong. Maybe 5 minutes wrong. And you waited maybe 55 minutes. And after that, you lost your mind. And then you get so angry and start doing the things which you're not supposed to do. And that person shows up. What would happen? You will not have a good relationship, but a bad relationship. So, what the Word of God is saying, let the patient have perfect work. Means, don't have patient with 55 minutes and lose patient last 5 minutes. All that gone. just like somebody says, I am virgin for this many years, but I'm going to have a fun for one day, and I can be still virgin. What would happen? You can be virgin for 17 years, and one time you lose your virginity, it will not come back to you. You lost it. All 16 years or 17 years, what you brag about, is gone within no time. So the Word of God is saying, let the patience work in you full time, perfect time. When the patience works perfect, what happens? Then you may be perfect, entire. Means then God says, now you've done it. You will be know how to live the perfect life.
Amen.
Pure life. Some people say, nobody can live pure life. This is the lie from the hell.
Amen.
If nobody can live perfect life, God will not say, be ye perfect,
right,
as your Father is perfect.
That's right.
That written is Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye perfect, as your Father is perfect. Let me tell you, we cannot live a perfect life without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But once you have Jesus Christ in you, what happens? He comes and He sanctifies you. He washes your sins away. And He makes you righteous.
Amen.
Now just think that Jesus Christ washed you with His blood and made you righteous, and you say to yourself, I don't think I'm righteous. I don't think I'm washed. What does it mean? Then Jesus washing is in vain. Right? You have to believe there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and
Amen.
Say, Lord, forgive all my sins and wash me with
wash
your precious blood, you
Amen.
Will be thoroughly washed.
Amen.
And your slate will be cleansed
Amen.
And clean.
Amen.
And there will be no record of sin. Now, let me give another example, then you know. Just think you used to smoke and drink. And you were addicted to this for many years. And you thought to yourself, this will never go away. And I will never have victory. You tried many times and you took it back again. And so you lost the faith in you. You said, I cannot do it. But just think that you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And said, Lord, this is my problem. I cannot have victory over these habits. Come into my life. Let the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ give me victory over this. I surrender my life to you and I want to live a holy and clean life. What happened? All of a sudden, you feel like a power of God coming over you. And you lose the desire for smoking and drinking.
Amen.
And then you live that clean life for 5 or 10 years. And then somebody comes to you and say, I don't believe anyone can live that kind of life without smoking and without drinking. What are you going to say? I got it. And I'm pure. And I'm holy. I never take that cigarette and drink in my life again. Check my blood and you will not find any alcohol in my blood. Can you say that boldly? Yes. Because you got it from the Lord. So if you can live without smoking and without drinking, the same way you can live without doing any sin. If you can give up smoking and drinking instantly, you cannot do any other sin if you have Jesus in you.
Yeah.
Why? Because you get the nature of God.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean you are not capable to commit sin.
Sure.
You will commit sin if you want to.
Yes.
But if you don't want to commit sin and you say, Lord, I want to live for you
yes.
and for your glory, He gives you supernatural
yes.
power.
Yes.
Do you think I'm craving for smoking? No. I don't crave for smoking. You can keep 10,000 cigarettes around me, it will not tempt me to take a cigarette. Why? I am dead to cigarette.
Amen.
Dead to alcohol.
Amen.
They can put a perfume in alcohol, it will not, you know, give me desire to drink it. Why? Because I hate alcohol, I hate cigarette, and I don't need it because I gave my temple to Jesus Christ to dwell in.
Amen.
So that's the way we can live good life. And then what he's saying, then wanting nothing.
Amen.
That means if you live that kind of life, you are not going to crave for anything. Your life will be life of satisfaction.
Amen.
You do not crave for anything. Means you have everything in God. He supplies everything. Just like Psalmist says, Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. The same thing he said, wanting nothing. I will not need anything. What the word of God is saying, if you let the patience work in your life, your life will be much more fruitful. You will have everything what you need. And you will be not craving for the things which you don't need. Yeah. Let's go further. James chapter 1, verse 5.
Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him.
Why this came here? Because some people will not believe what we read up to now. But the word of God is saying, it is possible. You have to have the God's wisdom to understand these things. Because fool says in his heart, what? There is no God. But if you are a child of God, then you will love the Lord, you will follow the Lord, and you will do what God says you will do. And so the word of God is saying, if any man, and somebody says there is no woman's name here, so the men are the one foolish. But he says, if any man lack wisdom, then if somebody says, you know, the man only lacks wisdom, the ladies has the wisdom already. And there are people, they are proving today, they say ladies have some brain works better than men, so they can talk better. And so you see, most of the radio station, television station, they have ladies doing these programs because they talk fast. What I'm trying to say, I'm not against what the ladies, but the word of God is saying, when you say lack wisdom man, that means mankind.
Amen.
Not the lady or a man, mankind.
Right.
Any person lacks wisdom. One day one man came to me, he was a civil engineer, very smart person, came to me and said, if I don't learn the national language, they are going to take my job away. I have to learn this language. He got the book, he studied the book, but he didn't understand anything. He came and started crying. I said, I don't understand, I'm going to lose my job. I said, sir, how many times you read this book? He said, I'm studying day and night. I do not understand anything. I said, throw that book away. Read the Bible. Bible has the wisdom of God. And give your heart to Jesus Christ. That man gave his heart to Lord Jesus Christ, received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I laid hand on him and I prayed for him. And I said, read the Bible every day. And when you go for exam, when the paper comes to you, lay your hand on that paper and pray. And see what happens. And he did exactly. And when he went, he prayed over that paper, and the papers were so easy. Just say, you know, true and false and things like that. And he just has to just pray and say, Lord, whatever is true, whatever you tell me. And he did, and he was the number one student in the whole, that district. He came number one student. He said, Pastor Peter, I don't know the language. How did it happen? I said, God knows you don't need that language to do the engineering job.
Amen.
You're doing the best job in the world. but these people just made some law, but God gave him grace. So what I'm trying to say, the Word of God is saying, if you ask God, He will give wisdom. And He gives you what? Not little bit, He gives liberally. He gives you perfect wisdom, especially to the man of God. So if you want more wisdom, be a pastor. Be a servant of God. Because the pastors and the ministers, they have to minister to kings, ministers to all the higher authorities. There is no higher authority than a servant of God in the world. Only authority higher is God. James chapter 1 verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So the Word of God is saying, if you ask in faith, God will give you wisdom and He will give liberally. But when we asking with a doubt, here He says the waves of the sea. When the sea is roaring, brings the waves back and forth, and those waves brings dirt, because the Word of God is saying the unsaved man or unrighteous man is like a troubled sea. We get doubt from the devil. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. So when Jesus is the creator of faith and He gives you faith, then somebody is destroying your faith. That's the enemy. Verse 7. James verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What man? The man who doesn't have faith and his faith is wavery, that man will not get anything from the Lord. Many people sometimes pray and say, I asked God this, but God didn't do it. And they start blaming God. But the Word of God is saying they do not have faith and they waver. Sometimes you ask something and you say, I don't think God is going to do it. But when we doubt that God is not able to do it, that's called unbelief. The Word of God says there is nothing impossible with God. If the God can raise the Lazarus, He can do anything. There is nothing impossible with God. James chapter 1 verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means the person has split personality or two minds. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says He gives you mind of Christ. That means Jesus comes to live in you, and when Jesus lives in you, He gives you His mind, His nature. When you are born again, child of God, you think like God thinks. But the enemy always try to distract you from the Lord. Verse 9, James chapter 1 verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. See, the Bible says all promotion comes from the Lord. God is the one source of our supply. We should not be thinking because we are smart and we did this and we did that. Some people think because they are smart, they are able to work, they are able to make money, they are able to go to school and be educated, and they are smart. But this is all the gift of God. We should always glorify God, what God is doing in our life. If we were poor and God made us rich, we should be thankful to God, not be boasting. If you got the promotion, we should be always thanking God, not be thinking, because I'm smart, I got it. I heard so many people, when they came to the Lord, they thought because they were smart, because they were doing great, that's why God called them in the ministry. The Word of God says there is nothing we can boast. Even the gift, you know, all the gifts comes from God. salvation also is a gift of God. So there is nothing we can boast. We should humbly say, thank you, Jesus, what you have done for us. James chapter 1, verse 10. Rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun, verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So what the word of God is saying, rich man start boasting what his richness and his power, but the word of God says the rich man will be wither like a flowers. I have seen many rich people in their life, they lost everything, and some of them died like a beggar, because God is the one supplies our need. The psalmist says the little bit what the righteous has is greater than the wicked or wicked riches. We should be thankful to God what God has given to us. If you start making money with a deceiving people or with a crooked way and try to get fast rich playing lottery and things like that, that money will not stay. They have done the research that the people who get the lotteries, most of the time they became worse than before. So the word of God is true, because the riches will fly away, vanish away. We should not be trust in our riches. You remember there was a man came to Jesus Christ and he said, what should I do to go to heaven? Jesus says, do all the commandments. And he said, I did all those commandments from my childhood. Jesus said, would you like to be perfect? Then sell everything what you have and follow me. What the man did, he was very sorrowful, because the Bible says he was very rich, and he walked away. Then Jesus Christ said, it is very hard for a rich man going to kingdom of God. That doesn't mean every rich man is going to go to hell. The word of God says, Jesus Christ, who was rich, he became poor, so with his poverty we can be rich. That you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Some people get confused with these words. They said Jesus Christ became poor spiritually. He was never poor spiritually. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, Son is Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. They all created universe. And so he was in the glory of God, living in heaven, angels are worshiping him, and he was God himself. But the word of God says he took a form of man and he died the servant's death. So he became poor for you. So with his poverty, we can be rich. Someone would say, how can somebody make us rich? And he became poor. Jesus Christ gave everything to us. Whatever Jesus Christ has, faith, health, prosperity, everything comes from God. Our God is called El Shaddai, means all-sufficient God. Psalmist says in Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. What does it mean? When Jesus Christ is our Lord, he supplies all our needs. James chapter 1, verse 12. We are going to stop here because time doesn't permit us. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord Jesus, bless your people right now. Touch them, heal them, deliver them, and set them free. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. And you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Bless us, Lord, and use us mightily for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives into your loving hands. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.